We have been in our own church. On Sunday evenings, we have been going through a series entitled, Why Did Jesus Come to Die on the Cross? And we all know the several basic reasons to redeem us, to reconcile us, to justify us, to forgive us, all of those things. But there are also some other remote things that we don't tend to think much about. And if you were to locate every place in the New Testament where it speaks of Christ's death, and then realize that there was something attached to that, we will see this afternoon that one of the reasons that Jesus came to die on the cross was to heal the sickness of sin. And for this, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. I'm going to be reading verses 16 and 17. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him, meaning Christ, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, healing the sick and casting out demons was a common practice of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says this, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then in Matthew 9, 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And in this particular portion that I've read to you this evening or this afternoon from Matthew chapter 8, this was no exception. The demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he set them free. The sick and afflicted were brought to Jesus, and he made them completely well. This was the ministry of Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Anyone who came to him was healed. And there were no exceptions. John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. What makes this account in Matthew chapter 8 different is that here in Matthew we learn that by healing the sick, Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, which he loosely quoted when he wrote, quote, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. We understand that Jesus healed. I made reference to that in the first message this morning, that that was part of Jesus' ministry in healing the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the dumb. But here in Matthew's account in chapter 8, he specifically states that the healing of Jesus was part of his redemptive plan in going to the cross. Though the Jews could not say with certainty who was being referenced in Isaiah 53, Matthew said that it referred to Jesus. If you were to ask a Jew who is the subject of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, they would say they don't know, because it fits perfectly the life of Jesus. It describes him as the suffering servant. It describes him as the one who came and bore our sins and took our infirmities upon himself, that the Father would see his seed and be satisfied. We know that the scripture says that he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We know that from Isaiah 53. The Jew would say they don't know who the person of Isaiah 53 is. But here, in Matthew's account, chapter 8, Matthew records for us in the words of Jesus that he said that he healed the sick and cast out the demons in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53. So he says, when evening, again, I'll read this again. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Here, he says the reason Jesus healed the sick and cast out the demon-possessed was to fulfill Isaiah chapter 53, not just to make people well. Again, Jesus did nothing just because it needed to be done. There was always a fulfillment of Scripture. There was always a prophecy that was being fulfilled. That at the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, the Scripture says that the Psalms and the prophets and Moses, that they spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was taken to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he climbed up in the chariot and saw that the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, and he asked him, did he understand what he was reading about? And the man said, how can I unless someone show me? And the Scripture says, beginning with that chapter, he spoke to him of Jesus. And so we find out that in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Jesus is the subject of that chapter, even though the Jews will not acknowledge that. This is an example in Scripture of Scripture interpreting Scripture, of the Scripture fulfilling for us, explaining to us what these Old Testament passages mean. And so we don't have to wonder about Isaiah 53. In Mark 8, 16 and 17, our text today, we're told that Christ is the subject of that prophecy. So Matthew is saying that when Jesus physically healed the sick of their infirmities and physically delivered the demon-possessed from their bondage, he was doing more than just relieving them of their suffering. He was in actuality fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53, which is all about redemption. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did he die upon the cross? Well, to heal the sickness of sin. Again, he said, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. There are two terms here that are used regularly by the Pentecostals, that they hold hostage and claim that they are their own personal guarantee of physical healings and deliverance based upon the promise of Isaiah 53. And they tend to use even this passage in Matthew chapter 8 to substantiate the fact that we need to all claim our healing. Because after all, Jesus did indeed. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. So what does that mean? What does it mean? And in reality, it has not a healing from physical ailments, but rather a redemptive twist to it of healing of the spiritual infirmities. So the two terms I want to look at here in this brief message this afternoon are infirmities and sicknesses. I want to give you something short this afternoon because everybody goes into a food coma after we eat, and so it's difficult to keep everybody awake. I think I told you before, but they had the account of fellow that died in church. Told you that story. You've heard that story, right? The fellow that died in church and they carried three people out before they finally got to the dead guy. Of course, it's none of you, but I don't want to belabor the point. So first of all, we're going to take a look at infirmities. This particular word, it means physical or spiritual weakness or inability. Lacking strength. Asthenia is the Greek word. It has a particular meaning to it. When it talks about infirmities, it's found 23 times in the New Testament. And it is most often translated as infirmities, such as afflictions, maladies, paralysis, lameness, blindness, and others. It's not a sickness. It's not like the pandemic that we just went through, a sickness that someone contracts. It is a weakness. It is a malady of the body, some kind of lameness or blindness or deafness. It ultimately speaks of things that hinder. Things that hinder. These are the weaknesses which are not associated with sicknesses. These physical infirmities were pictures of a spiritual reality. Again, tying into this morning's message. Sin is an infirmity that all of us have and will ultimately lead to death. Like an infirmity that someone has in this life, a physical infirmity, that it will ultimately lead to death. We have a woman in our church, just a dear woman. She's recently become a part of our church within the last year, she and her husband. And she looks like the picture of health, but she has COPD. And she has had COPD for the last 15 years, and she knows that it has become progressively worse, that now she has to use a puffer that she never used to have to use. And as I said, if you stand and talk to her, she looks perfectly normal. But if you were to ask her to pick up a box of books and carry it to the back, by the time she got to the back, she would be gulping air. And that is a progressive, degenerative process that will ultimately take her life. We don't know when that will happen, but it will ultimately take her life. It's not something she's caught or she has become contagious. It's a weakness. And sin, like that weakness, is an infirmity that all of us have. And it will ultimately lead to our death. It is a weakness that keeps us from God, keeps us from seeking God, serving God, or pleasing God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, Paul refers to the asthenia, or the weakness of the flesh, that it all by itself cannot seek God, is not able to. In Hebrews 4:15, Christ sympathized with our asthenia, with our weakness and temptations that we experience in the flesh. They're not physical sicknesses that we've contracted from someone. It's a weakness in the body that leads us ultimately to death. These infirmities are those weaknesses from which we cannot deliver ourselves. So when Jesus is healing these individuals of their infirmities, when we're told here in Matthew chapter 8, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities." We're talking about these weaknesses that would ultimately weaken us, keep us from God, and ultimately lead to our death. A blind man cannot cure his own blindness. A lame man cannot strengthen his own legs. A deaf man cannot open his own ears. And so a sinner cannot remove his own sins. Only God can. Only God can deliver them. So when Christ was healing and he was delivering them from their infirmities, he is fulfilling Isaiah 53. So what did Christ do with these infirmities? The passage says he took them. He received them as his own. He did what no one else could do. He removed them. Now, what we're going to lead up to is when we're dealing with our Pentecostal friends and we're dealing with those who want to claim their healing based upon Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The previous verse is the one that Matthew is making reference to. Verse 4 of Isaiah 53, where it says that he took our infirmities. He took them. He received them as his own. He did what no one else could do. He removed them. But remember, he did that while he was still alive. He didn't need to die to do that. He did that while he was living. So what we're going to look at as we go along further is that Matthew is tying the death of Christ with the removal of these infirmities and these sicknesses. It's the death of Christ that removed those. He didn't need to die to heal people. They were healed and demons were cast out and people were raised from the dead, Lazarus being one of them. Jairus' daughter, they were raised from the dead without Jesus being put to death. But the death of Jesus led to this instruction here in Matthew. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So we've looked at infirmities, just having to do with weaknesses. Next, he uses the word sicknesses. This particular word in the Greek, it is contrary to God's creative plan. When God created man in the garden, he said everything was good. And when he was done, he said everything was very good. Sickness was not a part of it. Death was not a part of it because sin was not a part of it. But once sin entered the world, then came sickness and then came death as well. This word sickness, nosis in the Greek, it refers actually to a sickness, something that is contracted, whether it be a cold, whether it be the flu, whether it be the corona, COVID-19, or whatever it might be. Refers to an actual illness or disease and not a physical handicap. When God created man and placed him in the garden, there was no sickness, as you remember. In fact, in the garden, there was the tree of life, which was meant to be eaten. It was there. It was one of the good trees. And ultimately, as the result of man's sin and disobedience, sickness entered the world, death entered the world, and therefore man was put out of the garden. Because in his current situation where he was sick, to leave him in the garden with the tree of life would have been the equivalent of hell. To eat the tree of life, to live forever and be sick and always sick but never ever dying. The sickness never ending at all. That is the picture of hell. And so the door of the entrance of the Garden of Eden was barred with flaming swords, and Adam was put out, and he was meant to be removed from the garden as a mercy, as a kindness to him, not as a judgment against him. So these were sicknesses that could not be cured. That's what he's talking about, sicknesses that could not be cured. We know of one such sickness in the New Testament, the woman with the issue of blood. She spent all of her money on doctors and cures, but to no avail. She couldn't be cured. And in fact, she wasted all of her living trying to find a cure, but couldn't. And yet all she had to do was touch the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. So when he's talking here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. How did he do that? The word bore means to pick up with the hands and put upon oneself. The idea when you pick up something heavy, you grab it with your hands, but it's too heavy to hold like that, so you throw it up on your shoulder and let your shoulder support it, and you carry it away. It's to bear the load for someone else, to bear under the load. Now, when Jesus bore our sicknesses, he didn't become physically sick for us. When it says he bore our sicknesses, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, did he himself, by taking them up and putting them on himself, did he become physically sick? The answer is no. That wouldn't have helped us in the least. By him becoming sick doesn't take the sickness away from us. What he did was to take up our sins and place them upon himself. This is what Isaiah is talking about. Not about physical healing. I want you to go back with me to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Go back with me to Isaiah 53. Because what Matthew has quoted here in this brief portion of Matthew chapter 8 is just a portion of Isaiah 53:4. The rest of the verse gives us the context of what he means here in Matthew 8 when he says that he took our sicknesses and bore our, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's the portion that Matthew has recorded. But then it goes on, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So whatever this taking of infirmities, bearing our infirmities and carrying our sorrows, whatever this means, in Matthew chapter 8, it does not mean he's talking about guaranteeing physical healing in this life. Because he goes on and he says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. To what end was he stricken by God and afflicted? Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The meaning of the last phrase, and by his stripes we are healed, has been greatly misused and misrepresented. Its meaning is determined by the context of the rest of the verse. His reference to transgressions, iniquities, and chastisement for our peace all refer to sin, not physical sickness. And when Jesus healed those who were demon-possessed, healed those who were sick and afflicted, healed those who had infirmities of deafness, lameness, blindness, when he healed those, he was still living when he physically delivered them here in this life. But what he's talking about, at some point in time, this issue in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, that he surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is something that happened upon his death. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. When was Christ? When was this one in Isaiah 53 who the writer of Matthew here in Matthew 8 says that the one that's being spoken of here in Isaiah 53 is Jesus himself. When was he stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted? When did that happen? It happened on the cross. When people are asking the questions, well, who crucified Jesus? My sister married a Jewish man. He has since died. But she married a Jewish man. And throughout their married life, he and I would have some lively conversations, mostly based upon the fact that he was all of his life accused of being the killer of Jesus. As a Jew, he's the Jesus killer. Said, when I joined the Navy, that's all I heard. This Jew, he's the one who killed Jesus. Said, I heard that all my life. He said, I didn't kill Jesus. And he's true, he didn't kill Jesus. More importantly, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. More importantly, yet the Romans didn't kill Jesus. According to Isaiah 53, it was God who killed Jesus. It was God who executed him. And he executed him that we might be delivered from the sickness of sin. What Jesus did on earth here was a temporal picture of that. These infirmities, these weaknesses that they couldn't be delivered from themselves, or these sicknesses that they had contracted in this life, like the woman with the issue of blood that would ultimately lead to her death, certainly led to the exhaustion of all of her funds. It was only Jesus who could do that. In the raising of Jairus' daughter, when he said she's only sleeping, they all mocked him. And he raised her from the grave. In the case of Lazarus, Lazarus' sister said to Jesus, if only you'd been here. If only. Their mentality was the possibility of him being raised now is done. Jesus even asked her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they die, they will live again. Do you believe that? And the one sister said, well, I know there is the resurrection at the end of the age. They had no clue that Jesus had the power, even in this life, to raise people from the dead. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. When people are asking you about salvation, when you're sharing the gospel with someone, remind them that Jesus did not ask Lazarus if he wanted to be raised from the dead. Jesus did not say to Lazarus, raise your hand if you want to be saved. Raise your hand if you want to be delivered from the tomb. Ah, Lazarus, I see that hand. I'm going to raise you. Number one, Lazarus had no hand to raise because when he came out, they said, loose him and set him free. He was all bound up. He couldn't even raise. He could maybe raise an eyebrow. That's about it. But the reality is Jesus said of Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth, and he came. While he was living, he did that. Jesus didn't need to die to do that. He had the power to do that. But all of that power was the demonstration of the fact that there is something that only Jesus can do. Here on earth, he can heal you of your physical ailments. And we oftentimes in prayer meetings, we do this. Let's pray for Betty. Betty's sick in the hospital. She has cancer. Looks like she's going to die. Let's pray for Betty. Well, even if Betty is healed, we praise the Lord for that. But if Betty is healed and still lost, Betty is no better than she was before. She may not have the pain or the agony or the frustration of the cancer, but she's still going to die without Christ. That physical healing means nothing. Because at some point in time, I am going to die in this world, and I need something more than physical healing to deliver me. I need a spiritual healing. I need to be delivered from the sickness of sin. That's what I need to be delivered from. Not the sickness of cancer. Not the sickness of a stroke. Not the sickness of Lou Gehrig's disease. There are some terrible ways for people to die. Terrible ways. And there are times that we go to their bedside and we don't have anything to offer them. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. I feel bad. I feel this. I feel that. But here's what you can offer. Even if you aren't healed in this life, there is hope in Jesus Christ that he went to the cross to heal you of all of your infirmities and all of your sicknesses. That there'll be no more tears in heaven, no separation, no night there. There'll be the tree of life with 12 fruits for the healing of the nations. It's the best you could ever hope for. That's the hope that we're offering people who are sick. Not as the Pentecostals to say, if you believe well enough, by his stripes you are healed, claim your healing. Well, even if they claim their healing, even if they, I believe I'm healed, even if they claim their healing, but spiritually nothing ever happens, then they die in their sin. What a terrible loss that would be. The meaning of the phrase, and by his stripes we are healed, speaks of transgressions, iniquities, chastisement for our peace, all referring to sin. Not referring to physical disposition of your body, but referring to sins. And so the healing he mentions refers to spiritual healing, not physical healing. Jesus physically healed the sick while he was still living. He didn't need to die to accomplish this. However, to heal their souls from sin required his death. That was different. That was a healing that had little to do with the physical infirmities and everything to do with the spiritual realities. That is what is being conveyed in Isaiah 53 and in Matthew chapter 8. Physical healing is not of the greatest importance. It's only a picture of the true and lasting healing. Healing of our bodies is only temporary, but healing of the soul is permanent. Oftentimes when Jesus healed someone, he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Matthew 9:2, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you.'" Though this man was physically healed, more importantly, he was spiritually delivered. And then in verses 3 through 7 of that same passage in Matthew 9, it says, "And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' then he said to the paralytic, 'Arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' And he arose and departed to his house." The physical paralysis was an outward sign of sin. The physical healing was an outward sign of salvation. And according to Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it was accomplished on the cross. Jesus suffered and died to heal the sickness of sin. That's my message, brethren. Short and sweet, to the point, that we might remember that everything that Christ did, everything he did, was for a historical or redemptive purpose. It was to show the world that we need to be transformed, we need to be forgiven, and it can only happen through Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father, how grateful we are that you have given us a good day in the Lord, that we have had opportunity to open your word and to read it, to expound it, to celebrate it, to bask in it, to be warned by it, to be comforted through it, to know that you who began the good work in us, you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that it is our highest honor and privilege to bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in our body. Please forgive us for our grumbling and complaining when we become sick. Forgive us our disputes that we tend to air when things aren't going our way. Paul reminded us in Philippians 2, "Do all things without complaining and disputings," that you have called us to be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom we shine as lights in the world. Thank you for the hope of the gospel, that Jesus healed those who were sick to show us it's a picture of our absolute helplessness. And then by going to the cross, he healed the biggest disease of all, the disease of sin, that only he could pay for. Send us away now with your blessings. Watch over us. Increase our faith, our strength, our love for you, and use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.